The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:20pm with Gary Capewell, James Millman and Rory Delaghi in the studio for a busy bank holiday Monday. It's 7 meetings domestically as well as Irish Grand National Day over in Ireland. We'll bring you the best of that action from 12:20. So do tune in for all of that. Right now though, my name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. James Millman. How are you, James?
Yeah, pretty good. Thank you, Mark.
Good. Now, before we look ahead to what is a very busy Easter Monday, just the 7 or 8 meetings to look ahead to, we're going to have a look at some of the news. Interesting news surrounding Aintree this morning as we record this, and that's that Saïda Grougie, who we know would have to have a different jockey this time round as well, might not even go because of the drying ground.
Yeah, there's warnings about watering already for Aintree. Obviously, Saïda Grougie was seen to really good effect on very heavy ground at Chepstow on his second run of the season, and that probably is a concern, and especially as Jamie's injured, Josh apparently is going to be taking the ride, but I suppose it's probably a little bit more concern in the camp, and I can see why. Aintree does seem to get pretty quick sometimes. He's obviously had a few issues this year. I can see why, but he's had a long season. There's no guarantee that Punchestown or Sarnham's going to be any better ground. I think there'll be the fact that the Clerk of the Course is running to water already suggests it's going to be pretty safe ground. Haydock yesterday, not too far from Aintree, was pretty test and going on the Channel 4 car there on Saturday. So I don't think it's going to be too quick, but I do just worry whether they think he's quite 100%. And I'll say he's in and out this year, 2 bad runs and 1 really good run at Chepstow, but that was only a 4-runner handicap, so it's hard to know really what he achieved. So yeah, he's just perhaps not quite in top shape, but we will see more if he even runs next week or whatever.
Okay, one horse that we should see next week is Cole Harden, the World Hurdle winner. He's down to run in the Stayers Hurdle, and they're planning on going through that engagement, so be exciting to see him out again, see if he can back up his World Hurdle performance.
Yeah, and you'd imagine the sharper nature perhaps would suit at Aintree, perhaps easier to make the run in there than what it is at Cheltenham. So I'd say he really is a tough individual. I think he ran pretty well there last year. How much that race has taken out of him, but because of Easter, I think you've had an extra week between Cheltenham and Aintree than what we normally do, and exciting times for Ryan Greatrix and Gavin Sheehan. And like I say, that's probably the most open of races, wasn't it, really, the Stayers Hurdle at Cheltenham. It's very difficult to pinpoint a clear choice beforehand. There's a lot of 5-1 co-favourites, and the fact that he came out on top was a little bit of a shock, but he's got a really good attitude, and it's probably better on this better ground. So I'd say Cole Harden, I could certainly see him following up if Cheltenham didn't leave its mark on him.
Yeah, goes there with a big chance. Let's talk about the big race then. The Crabbies Grand National shut the front door. 7-1 at the top of the market. 10-1 for Rocky Creek. 11-1 for Balthazar King. The Druid's Nephew 14s. 20s for Alvarado. Cause of Causes, God's Me Judge, Sol and Spring Heeled, and 25-1 or bigger prices for the others. We do know this morning that Sam Winner won't go to the race. But we do also know that Sean Bowen will be riding in the race. He
treble yesterday.
Yeah,
got that 10th chase winner. And he's a kid really going places. And
he is, yeah.
For him, there must be a bit of pressure because obviously Paul had confirmed if you get your winners, Monparan is your ride. And I'd say spent this last week, a couple of seconds in chases, but it was really just a bit frustrating because to know you've got a ride in the National at just 17 years of age, that would have been a fair bit of pressure on his shoulders. But he gave us some cracking rides yesterday. Southwood Theatre, Virac, and he won a bumper for his dad as well. So he had a treble at Haydock yesterday, riding with a lot of confidence. And as Paul says, he really gets a tune out of Monparan. I think that Sam Winner's withdrawal takes Paul down to 5 horses, but he's still got a strong hand. Rocky Creek, very impressive in I'm not sure what it's called now, but the Kempton Chase. Used to be the race and post chase. It had a variety of names in recent years, but he didn't really get IMD last year over the 4 mile, 3.5 furlongs at the Grand National. Now he's going to be the concern once again. He really did drop away in the running. So some of Paul's horses this year have been a little bit rejuvenated, but would he get home? And a few people don't think he will. The one I like is last year's runner-up, Balthazar King, who's been kept deliberately fresh for the Grand National. They missed across country, which generally is his race to win, but they felt that last year winning the Cheltenham Cross Country race probably caused him to get beaten in the National last year, because he is best fresh. So
yeah,
they've certainly freshened him up this year. He seemed as good as ever. He goes on a nice quick ground, which if they're going to be watering, looks like it's going to be pretty decent ground. So for me, out of the 40 run a lottery, Buzzsaw Gift will be the one I'll pin my colours to. But McCoy shut the front door, obviously. His last ride, if he wins that, he's retiring straight away. The bookies, they're going to have to put him in short, because a lot of people are just going to be backing him just because McCoy's riding. Yeah. And for me, as a pure punter, I couldn't back it at that price. He's too short.
No, but he's going to go off shorter again, isn't he? Isn't he?
You can see why he's that price, just because simply the McCoy factor. Mm-hmm. I think Nina Carberry, she's picked up a ride. I've been Katie Walsh riding Seabass. And when the public gets behind the horse, the price does plummet, and perhaps it's not as good a value as it should be. But McCoy looks to be the one they're going to be backing this year. And like I say, yes, he's got a good chance, but he's not got as good a chance as the market suggests. This is a very, very open handicap.
Yeah. I'm inclined to agree with you in some ways. I think Balthazar King's a good bet at 11-1. I think it's a decent price. He's got to be somewhere there or thereabouts if he stays up.
He's such a game-consistent horse. Yeah. Goes on quick ground, goes well fresh, and was second last year. Pineda Ray, last year's winner, he continues that statistic where you win a national, you never win again.
Yeah, but yeah.
And he's not been in the same form this year around. Dr. Newland, trainer I respect enormously. He does seem to think he's got him back to his best, but last year was third in the attempts. I think this year was 11th.
Yeah.
And he's going to be, I think, about £8-9 higher. So realistically, it's going to be hard for him. But yeah, Butterfly King will be my one for the national.
Mm. I also quite like Alvarado, who I think could
he might sneak
around
into a place the typical Paul Maloney ride.
Exactly.
But the new fences, it seems to be even harder. You've got to be quite near the pace, and whether Paul Maloney will change the way he rides the Grand National, I don't know. He's got a cracking record of getting around and getting him into the place.
The thing is, he's just very patient and gets him around.
Is he ever going to be positive enough to actually win the national? That is a question mark. He probably gets the best place out of the horses, but I think to win the national, you're going to be riding a little bit closer.
Yeah. The other ones I'd mention, I think Sol's on an attractive mark in the race. And
one
I think,
well, at Exeter, race is working out very, very well.
And I'd like to see Shut the Front Door win just to send McCoy off in a fairy tale story, but I do realise it's a bit unlikely and the price is a bit short. Right
yeah, the price, like I say, you're back in the fairy tale to come true as such, rather than if you're a pure punter and you're looking at the form and the figures. He's too short, but it's the national. I mean, the national, the stories do tend to come true sometimes.
Mm. Anything else from Aintree or, in fact, in the news that's got your
eye? Well, just going back to Lingfield or Weather Championships, it was a really cracking good Friday. I was in the studio here and they had a crowd of 9,000. Yes, it's probably a little bit disappointing that Boys in Blue dominate a little bit Godolphin, but if you want to upgrade the quality, you've got to get the big people involved. So I think it's working really, really well. Trista looks to be a potential superstar, perhaps. We'll see if he can transfer the all weather form onto the turf, but let's face it, he's won on all four weather tracks, and obviously not the Fibersand, but he's proved versatility. He's not just done it all at Lingfield. He's won at Lingfield, Kempton, Chelmsford and Wolverhampton, so a bit of Tapeta, a bit of deep poly track, and a horse I really, really like. I liked him when he made an impression winning the first race at Chelmsford City, and I think he's definitely a group two horse, perhaps group one, and I'd be really interested to see how he gets on the turf this year.
Mm. Yeah, do you think he'll be the same horse on turf? You don't think the improvements come just because he's switched the all-weather surface?
Well, he's gone from 86 to 116 or whatever he has. He's improved £30. Do weather horses generally tend to be a lot lower grade than what he's going to encounter on the turf? There's going to be a lot more big owners, trainers, buy door horses represented, whereas he's bullying slightly lower grade opposition. But I think he ran at the fastest ever final 2 furlongs at Lingfield, 20 seconds, but normally they run about 22. And he was badly positioned. It wasn't the greatest of rides by Woody Buick, but he absolutely took off. And he's a real machine against all other horses. It's going to be a step up in grade, but he does look to be very, very decent.
Mm. French winner on the card as well. With the amount of prize money on offer, do you think it's going to become more of a...
Yeah, definitely.
An international...
Because we've got the qualifiers in Deauville and obviously very well placed Fresley or Frey, whatever you want to call it, the French horse, and targeted extremely well, and cracking ride as well by the French jockey, because Lingfield's not an easy track to ride, and he got the fractions perfect out in front. And yeah, that's what we want to see a bit of international challenge, and like I say, I think it worked really, really well.
Yeah, it's a good day now, isn't it? Good Friday. The Musselburgh card's pretty good as well.
Musselburgh had some cracking 50 grand handicaps, and like I say, why have we waited so long to use Good Friday? But it's here now. I think it's here to stay. I think generally the weekend's pretty poor, really. The Easter weekend, bearing in mind it's a 4-day holiday for everyone who's got normal jobs. And we don't really... Today's racing is pretty average. Yesterday was a poor Saturday, really. We only had handicap finals at Haydock and Kempton. I think we need to Good Friday's great, I think, but we need to kind of just even get a little bit more better class racing on offer. But I think Good Friday's worked really, really well.
Yeah, we've seen that in Ireland, haven't we? The Irish Grand National meeting Sunday and Monday. So
yeah, we got Ferry House anyway, but it's just the English action is a little bit on the weak side.
Okay, well, let's leave that there. We'll move on to Monday's action. Plenty of racing to pick the bones out of. James has got four races for us, and we'll hear his thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Starting in the 210 at Redcar, this is a Pinnacle Cup Straight Mile Series qualifier, so it's over a mile. It's for four-year-olds and older. We have 12 of them in the lineup here. James, which ones have made the shortlist?
Well, this is a pretty tricky race because we've got a lot of horses that are either coming back off the winter break, having no other action straight back on the turf, or we've got a few that have been running in the weather during the winter, and whether they're going to be as effective back on the turf service. So the three that I've picked out to concentrate on are two that are fit from the weather: Drive On, Eve Johnson Houghtons, Reggie Bond, Jeff Wright Aldroyd, and Talent Scout for Karen Tutty. And selection will be Drive On. Eve Johnson Houghton wouldn't be renowned for having runners at Redcar, and she sends this one on a trek up north from her, I think she trains near Lambourne. And this one's been in reasonably good form in the weather. Won at Kempton in January, off a mark of 75, under Aaron Jones, a £7 claimer, who has been replaced by John Farhay, who's back from his Australian travels, I think. And perhaps stronger handling can get a little bit more out of this Drive On. He's reasonably well handicapped, only £2 higher than that Kempton success, and he's got form on the turf. Only five starts on the turf surface, but he has been running up to similar kind of figures to what he does in the weather, so I think that shouldn't be a problem. And hopefully he can use his fitness to good effect. Talent Scout is an interesting one for the Tutties. Gemma gets on extremely well with him, and if he's fit enough after 178 days off a track, he's got a lot of course distance form next to his name, so he's going to be dangerous. But fitness, we have to take that. We're not going to see how fit he is until we see him on the TV. But I'll say, if he is fit, he could be an each-way price. And the other one, Reggie Bond, he's also won during the winter. A little bit disappointing last time out when he was a beaten favourite at Wolverhampton. Fact, he's been off a track for nearly 2 months, just that he might have had a slight issue. And if he comes back in the form, then when he won at Wolverhampton previously, I think he's got a good chance, because Sonitation, the runner-up that day, has won subsequently in recent weeks. So Drive On and Reggie Bond, the two other runners, I think they're probably going to have the fitness edge, and it'll be between those two with Drive On the selection.
Drive On the selection there then. The 240 at Chepstow is a class 3 handicap chase over 3 miles. We have a field of 13 of them here, some big trainers represented, some decent horses, the likes of Carruthers, who's obviously, his family have had a pretty good time of things of late. What did you make of it, James?
Well, Carruthers, quite a dropping grade for him really, because Germany's running in 20 grand, 30 grand races, is only worth 15 grand, but it's quite a competitive event. Carruthers, like you say, all three brothers won in a week, Flincher, Kona Grey and Carruthers, which is a cracking achievement by the Bradstock Yard. They're the only three he's trained to win this year, so the fact that we're at the same mare is a wonderful achievement. It's going to be a tough task, I think, for Carruthers again, after winning so well the other day, only 16 days after that recent success. And there's some useful horses in opposition. Gervais Chambertin is a bit of a head-scratcher, really. When he wins, he looks very, very good. Unfortunately, that's rarely the case when he actually pulls up most of the time. He looked back to his best at Newbury when winning in December, beating Cacca de la Prey, who's a very useful horse. Then went to Cheltenham, was obviously a very competitive race behind the George's nephew, and just disappointed perhaps that the smaller field might suit 13 runners instead of 24. He's definitely going to be dangerous. The one I'm going to go for though is Top Weight Just a Par. That man at the moment, Sean Bowen, takes a ride in him for the first time, and generally he's been pretty consistent. He didn't run very well at Cheltenham, I think in the Kim Muir, but I think you can forgive that. His earlier form, fourth to Montparnasse, was a pretty good effort off his mark of 140. And with Sean Bowen's £5 claim taking him down to 135, I think Sean is certainly worth that £5. Just a Par will be the selection in a very competitive race. Carruthers will obviously be dangerous, and if Gervais Chambertin's on a going day, he'll be thereabouts. But you never really know with those two, so Just a Par will be the selection with Sean Bowen in the plate.
The 3 o'clock at Wolverhampton is a class 3 handicap over 7 furlongs. It's for the 3-year-olds. We've got a few interesting ones here as well. Mulzam and Bravo Zolo, both returning from absences but did win last time we saw them. You've got Subversive, who's chasing the hat-trick and has race fitness on his side. Do you see it probably between those three?
Yeah, shame we've only got three runners, but three really progressive 3-year-olds in action. And again, we'd like to say Subversive is the one that's been in form. He won pretty nicely at Lingfield the other day, beating Vejovis over 6 furlongs. That wasn't the strongest of races. Steps up to 7 furlongs now, and he was behind Bravo Zolo when they met back in October and was beat 2¼ lengths. I think the result's going to be the same. I can't see Subversive overturning the tables. Bravo Zolo was very well fancied when he won that race at Kempton. He was a little bit reluctant to go in the stalls, but once in action, he won very, very easily. He was 6-4 on favourite. He's only gone up £4, and like I say, I think he's certainly going to retain the form against Subversive. Mozam is obviously interesting. The Godolphin have had a cracking winter. This one didn't actually run. They had probably enough horses for his three-year-old sprints and three-year-old mile. He had 3 in the race, but he won his maiden pretty nicely in the first time hood. He was 11-10 favourite, so he won as expected. Mark of 86, perhaps a little bit on the harsh side on the bare form, bearing in mind he's beat 8 lengths when second on his debut behind Bazatine. He's interesting, but I'm just going to go with a botty horse in Bravo Zolo in, like you say, a small field, but a very, very competitive event in the 3 o'clock at Wolverhampton.
The 5 o'clock at Fairy House is the big race over there. It's the Irish Grand National Chase, a Grade A extended handicap over 3 miles and 5 furlongs, just the 30 of them in the lineup here, James. And similar to the English National, we've got McCoy on a JP McManus own favourite in the shape of Cantlow. But again, he's probably a bit shorter than he should be.
His form's really been pretty shocking recently. His last 6 starts, he's yet to get within 27 lengths of the winner. And that is going to be a concern. He was only 9-1 when pulled up behind Ballyheigue Bay at Kempton on his last run, and wasn't travelling, pulled up sharp as if something was amiss. McCoy's on board again, which suggests that obviously he's in top form at home. Form figures at 8-1, you can't be backing him at that price. The one I'm going to go for is Champagne James for Ted Walsh. Not a bad run, and something to Kim Muir. I think didn't really perhaps enjoyed the conditions perhaps at Cheltenham back at Fairy House, where he was second on his last start at the track. Could see him in a better light. Adrian Heskin back on board, and generally he's been in pretty good form. £5 higher than when he was second at Nace in a handicap 2 starts back. Ted Walsh has had a similar success with similar individuals, and in a very, very open race at 14-1, I'd probably beat him up each way. Rule of the World, very consistent for Mouse Morris. David Mullins takes the ride in that one. He's a 25-1 shot, but he's generally always there or thereabouts. And again, I'll be looking at him more each way. But I certainly think he could possibly get a job done, a novice. He's been running well in some good races. And a mark of 141 looks pretty fair, bearing in mind he's rated 156 over hurdles. And Rule of the World perhaps will be one each way at about 25-1. So interesting Irish National. We're going to be difficult as ever. But Champagne James and Rule of the World will be the two for me.
The betting for the Irish Grand National is on site, by the way. It's 8-1 for Cantlow. If in doubt, is 12s with Perfect Gentleman. 14s for Champagne James, Empire of Dirt, Grand Gesture, Los Amigos, Lots of Memories, Pass the Hat, and Vic's Canvas. And then 16-1, or bigger prices for the others. But as wide open as you'd expect. Thank you very much, James. Let's just have a quick summary, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your selections for Monday one more time.
Yeah, 2-10 at Redcar. We're going for Drive On. Eve Johnson Atlanta makes a rare trip up north to Redcar, and I think he can take advantage of race fitness from the all-weather. 2:40 at Chepstow, just apart. Sean Byrne's £5 claim should be very effective on him. 3 o'clock at Wolverhampton. Bravo Zolo, I think he's a very well-regarded type from Market Body Stable. He's the one for me in a trappy five-runner contest. And then finally in the Irish National, a pin's probably the best option, but I have gone for Champagne James and Rule the World, 14 and 25-1 respectively. Hopefully one of those can get placed at least, and maybe we'll find a winner in a very competitive 30-runner contest.
Fantastic. Good luck, James. Thank you very much. You'll be in the studio on Monday, so enjoy the action.
Thank you very much.
And James will be joined in the studio by Gary Capewell and Rory Delaghi, just the 7 domestic meetings to pick the best of, and we'll also bring you the Irish Grand National if possible as well. It's all live from 12:20 p.m. on Racing Radio, so do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.